Welcome into the Vandy Sports Podcast. I'm Billy Derrick. This is the 440 Sports Network. I'm your host, Billy Derrick. As I said, Anchor Impact brings us today's episode. We are diving into Vanderbilt football 2024, early signing day. I guess it's 2023 right now, but early signing day, of course, today. And I'm going to basically run through Vanderbilt's signees today and talk a little bit about some of Clark Lee's comments. And we'll get to some of your comments and questions today as well. Jason says he can't wait. Big day for Vanderbilt, as it is for every team around the country. And a big reason for that, and also in the transfer portal, is what the Anchor Impact has been able to do. And I want to give you a few words on them before we get started. Commodore Nation, get closer to Vanderbilt athletics than ever before with Anchor Impact, the official NIL collective for Vanderbilt University. Gain access to unmatched exclusive coverage and be part of a one-of-a-kind community. As an Anchor Impact member, you can gain exclusive privileges and benefits, offering deeper engagement with student-athletes, coaches, staff, and the entire Vanderbilt community. Access behind-the-scenes content, exclusive events, unique merchandise, and personalized experiences, creating an unparalleled connection with the student-athlete's journey. You also become a catalyst for change, redefining the landscape of college athletics and showcasing the potential of NIL on student-athletes' lives. Join the mission of Anchor Impact to support student-athletes and elevate Vanderbilt athletics to new heights. Become a member today and be part of this impactful journey. Help the Commodores thrive and contribute now by logging on to anchorimpact.com/register. All right, big show today. We'll probably go for about an hour or so. We're gonna be joined by Chris Lee after, as soon as Clark Lee wraps up his early signing day comments going on right now. So I know kind of a tough time. I'm sure a lot of you guys want to watch that live, but whenever that's done, probably get some of you guys checking in here. Chris Lee is out there right now. So I'm sure he'll have some thoughts up on the board after that, but we will check in with Chris Lee here towards the end. But what I want to do is run through Vanderbilt signees today. And obviously Twitter is a big source. So you got Clark Lee, Barton Simmons, providing their thoughts on each guy that has signed today. And I'm using that kind of as a tool to provide their insight to you guys, but also provide some of my own insight on a lot of these guys. I will say I'm not perfect with them, but I feel like I've done enough research and studied some of these players enough to where I can talk about what their skill set is and how they can help Vanderbilt next year, honestly, because there's going to be some guys that do help this team immediately. And obviously you got some early enrollees, but I want to start on the defensive line. Going to kind of go random order here. We'll start with three-star defensive lineman Glenn Seabrooks III. He's from Nashville Davidson Academy, 6'3", 305 pounds. Senior stats, 36 tackles, 14 tackles for loss, one sack, 13 hurries on the quarterback. He also had an interception and a forced fumble. Surprising to me that Glenn Seabrooks is the only Nashville product in this class. Of course, coming out of Davidson Academy a year ago, and then even the year before, Vanderbilt had plenty of Nashville local products, especially in the mid-state. But I like this guy a lot. He'll probably play three technique there, defensive tackle. He's a big dude. I mean, I saw some highlights this year from him over at Davidson Academy. He's a big player. Barton Simmons says people are sleeping on Big Glenn, defensive lineman, O-line, punter, really good baseball player as well. He's smart, super competitive. He can do everything well and is an athletic 325 pounds. He's staying home to build something. So that kind of stands out to you there. Athletic 325 pounds. And Vanderbilt recognized that as a need, a guy that can sort of maybe plug the hole there in the middle of that defense. SEC teams have that. Vanderbilt really hasn't had much of that, to date, really. I mean, ever, so I think Glenn Seabrooks is a good start there to sort of build out that, the middle front seven of that defense. All right, let's go to the secondary. Alvin Williamson Jr. This guy is another impressive athlete. Of course, went to the same high school as Dante Carter, and three-star cornerback Alvin Williamson Jr. out of Cibolo, Texas, 6-foot, 180-pounder. Finished last year with 41 tackles, one tackle for loss, one interception, and 8 pass breakups. Played with Dante Carter. They had one of the best secondaries in the state of Texas all season long. And I think to get both those guys is really impressive for Vanderbilt and their staff. He will be an early enrollee. He will compete for playing time. As you know, Vanderbilt struggled in the secondary. They've struggled in the secondary for I don't know how long, but obviously they did last year, and they have ever since Clark has been there. So for Williamson to come in here and make an immediate impact, I think will be huge. Obviously, he's going to have some learning to do, you know, as a freshman. I'm sure other younger guys on Vanderbilt's team, like a Martell Height, can help with that transition for a lot of those young kids. Barton Simmons says rare body type at defensive back. He's got big time energy and leadership skills. He's been a mainstay in the secondary at one of the top programs in Texas. Like that kid. Like that kid a lot. Again, I think he'll have a chance to compete and play a lot early for Vandy. And you look at him. He's a DB, right? Dante Carter's a safety. And you look at Vanderbilt's DBs right now, B.J. Anderson, you know, of course, will be gone. I want to say Tyson Russell will be back, Taco Wright. But there's just, you know, there's a lack of talent. So I think getting a guy in here that has a high floor, right, that, you know, you're looking at Alvin Williamson Jr. as a guy that has a high floor. Again, we'll see how much Vanderbilt needs him to play early, because that'll be a big telltale sign of if the secondary has improved or not. So we got a couple of guys down again: Glenn Seabrooks, Alvin Williamson Jr. Let's stay in that secondary. I would guess Tate Hamby is a guy that projects as a safety. Again, we'll see where Tate Hamby lands positionally for Vanderbilt. And Tate Hamby's a don't sleep on him either. I know, you know, Barton Simmons said to, you know, make sure you don't sleep on Glenn Seabrooks. Well, Tate Hamby is a guy that you cannot sleep on either. Barton Simmons called him a state champion in football, basketball, and track. Also plays baseball, wide receiver, safety, kick returner, punt returner, 6'4" high jumper. Nearly 23-foot long jump, hunts alligators, hunts receivers. He's a baller. Tate Hamby coming out of Monroe, Louisiana. Again, he's a guy that you know, will get a chance to compete early. Kind of doubt he'll start any games next year, but again, with injuries, and if Vanderbilt has as many injuries as they did this year, you know, you're going to see some of these guys hop in there and compete for playing time. You know, that's kind of the lay of the land for Vanderbilt these last few years. So Tate Hamby, of course, is another guy to watch. Just signed today. We just talked about Alvin Williamson Jr. Well, his counterpart there at Cibolo High School in Texas is Dante Carter, one of the top recruits in program history, is a Vanderbilt Commodore, and this is massive. I mean, Dante Carter is the story in this class for Vanderbilt. He's a guy that he's long, he's lanky, he projects extremely well. I would imagine he starts at safety next year for Vanderbilt. I mean, I think you look at him and you go, yep, he can start right away. 6'1", 175-pounder last year at Cibolo as their starting safety. 77 total tackles, 2 TFLs, 7 interceptions, 8 pass breakups, and 1 forced fumble as well. He got a lot of interest from a lot of other big-time schools this past year. And for Vanderbilt to keep him was a minor miracle. I mean, an act of God, you could say. But I think that is part of the hope that fans are clinging to, that this staff is clinging to. I mean, if you would have lost, I can't imagine the feeling of demoralization around this program if they were to have lost Dante Carter. Probably would have felt a lot like Kamorian Pempton and a couple of the guys. Luckily, Dante Carter stayed committed. Credit to this staff for that. I mean, that is massive. Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgia came calling this past year, and Dante Carter said, nope, I'm good. I'm staying in Nashville. So, and again, he originally picked Vanderbilt over schools like Washington, Nebraska, Texas Tech. So he was a highly coveted guy. So he has stayed committed. He will start. I mean, I think, you know, the staff's not going to tell you he's going to start right away, but my gut tells me he'll start right away. Of course, with Jalen Mahoney, DeRicky Wright, and Savion Riley all gone, that opens up a lot of space for you to bring in some talent if you're Clark Lee and Vanderbilt. Dante Carter, Randon Fontenette as well, a guy that we'll get to you know, a little bit later when we get into the portal talk. But just massive. I mean, you cannot overstate that enough that they were able to snag Dante Carter. Barton Simmons on Twitter says this: school record 14 career interceptions, incredible range and instincts, talented and physically gifted, but I'm more excited about the mindset and demeanor he'll bring to this roster. Totally committed to the mission. He is totally committed. I mean, it's incredible to see players. You don't see kids like this in today's day and age a whole lot. And again, no disrespect to certain other kids. I'm not specifically naming names, but Dante Carter is a rare breed of a player. And, you know, I think fans should be really excited about him. Again, I think he's going to start, and it's going to be fun watching him play. Kennedy says a massive win for Clark, Barton, and the staff to keep him. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Jason already asking about Nate Johnson. I want to finish off these high school kids, and then I'll get to that question, Jason, about Nate Johnson there, the quarterback that Vanderbilt brought in. I want to continue to rumble through a lot of these guys. Johan Cardenas, running back, talented kid, and he's a guy that I really like as well. Impressive player out of Houston. Played at St. Thomas High School, 6'2", 215. So he's built. He's ready to play right away, I think. I mean, he's a monster. 249 carries, 2,268 yards this year as a senior. And he averaged 9 yards per carry, 33 touchdowns, also 25 catches, 340 yards through the air, and a receiving touchdown. All of a sudden, that Vanderbilt running back room is looking pretty good. Barton Simmons says Joe is a machine. He ran 11.2 5 months after ACL surgery, averaged nearly 10 yards per carry. He's a natural receiver, big, physical, great mindset and toughness. He's built for the SEC. Man, this guy, he might be the most ready-made prospect this staff has signed in their time here. I mean, obviously you could argue Dante Carter, but just looking at Johan Cardenas, he's an impressive prospect. In a deep running back room, he'll have a real chance to compete. You've got Cedric Alexander, A.J. Newberry, Diego Benson, and now Johan Cardenas. That's an impressive running back room back there for Vanderbilt next year. All right, let's go to the offensive side now, and let's talk a little bit about Tristan Brown, a receiver that Vanderbilt's excited about. Obviously, you lose Jaden McGowan, you lose Humphreys, you lose Shepard. Tristan Brown's going to play next year. You can bet on that. He's not the biggest guy, but he basically plugs that hole of Jaden McGowan. He's a Jaden McGowan type guy. He's got elite speed. He's only 5'9", 170, but you know he's a guy that is very explosive. Last year, in Houston at Lamar High School, 44 catches, 866 yards. He averaged nearly 20 yards per catch, which is a really impressive number. 10 touchdowns. He also took a couple of kickoffs back to the house. So he's a candidate for kickoff returns, I think, early for Vanderbilt. Just an insanely fast. I mean, if you look, turn on his film and tell me as a Vanderbilt fan, you're not excited to see Tristan Brown on the field. He's going to play. I mean, it's pretty obvious. He's a slot type guy. Obviously, you know, you look at the slot right now for Vanderbilt, you look at Junior Sherrill, but he's going to be right there behind Junior Sherrill. And really, really impressive get. Barton Simmons says, confident and authentic. He holds school records for receptions, yards, and receiving touchdowns. Baseball player with great ball skills and play speed will give us immediate return value, and he'll have early impact potential at receiver. I'll go even further. Potential, I'll say he will. He will have an immediate impact at receiver for Vanderbilt. And you mentioned baseball player. Barton mentioned baseball player there. You see that a lot with a lot of prospects that Vanderbilt has signed today. Almost all of them play two or three sports, right? So they love those types of kids. All right, let's move on to an edge rusher prospect, Mason Carter, three-star edge guy, 6'5", 200 pounds. Obviously, he's going to have to bulk up. He will. With whoever this strength and conditioning coach is going to be for Vanderbilt. Senior stats, though, in Jacksonville, Florida at Baldwin High School, 44 tackles, 14 TFLs, 6 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, and an interception. He's a guy that you kind of look at a couple spots for him. Again, he could be an edge-type guy. I think he could also project as an anchor-type player, you know, the position C.J. Taylor plays right now, Jeffrey Hugo, Bryce Cowan. Vanderbilt kind of plays around with the sizes of those guys. He could also play that star edge spot, you know, like a DeCosmo did for Vanderbilt. But we'll see how he projects with that size. Barton Simmons likes him a lot. Rare length and movement skills. Could play edge, tight end, linebacker, overhang, still young. Runs a 4.6 40. 14 TFLs as a senior, dripping with upside. So looking forward to Mason Carter, a guy that, as you just heard there from Barton Simmons, he could play a few different positions for the Commodores. All right, let's go to a state of Tennessee kid, Marquise Bosky Barrett, receiver, three-star, 5'10", 160 pounds. Obviously not the biggest kid. He'll have to put some weight on, but he's a guy that I think could play next year. Last year at Knoxville Webb School out there in East Tennessee, 57 catches, 945 yards, 19 touchdowns. On the defensive side, he also had 9 interceptions and 15 pass breakups. So I'm not saying there's going to be a position switch there, but who knows? You know, you saw Davion Walker at Vanderbilt make that position switch. So we'll see if that ends up happening there. But again, I think I like Bosky Barrett at receiver. He's a talented kid. Vanderbilt's been on him for a while. He had NC State Wake Forest looking at him. He was committed to Wake Forest, but that didn't last long. Vanderbilt ended up snagging him. So as I mentioned, he'll have to get in the weight room, but he will. And Barton Simmons, of course, likes him as well. He said infectious personality with big time playmaking ability. 12 touchdown catches on offense and 9 interceptions on defense as a senior. Dynamite with the ball after the catch. All right, let's go back over to the defensive side. Callahan Blair, 3-star edge rusher, 6'3", 220 pounds, coming out of Florida. Vandy snagging a lot of guys up and out of the state of Florida. Played at Calvary Christian School. 108 total tackles this year. My gosh, 23 TFLs, 8 sacks, 13 quarterback hurries. Also played a little bit of offense. A lot of production from this kid. Vanderbilt likes him a lot. I think, you look at that edge rusher, you think of a guy like Diakite, kind of learn under him. Obviously, I think he's more of a project. You know, I don't think he'll play necessarily early on, but they like him a lot. 45 TFLs in the last 2 years combined. Former gymnast, who was nationally ranked in the pommel horse, big-time motor guy that has posted some blazing GPS motors or numbers. So that's an impressive kid, Callahan Blair. Didn't know a whole lot about him before just now, but learned a lot about Callahan Blair there and what he could bring to Vanderbilt. All right, let's go to the quarterback position. Whit Muschamp, Baylor School, the son of course, former Florida and South Carolina head coach Will Muschamp. Good player. Really good player, actually. 6'1", 170 pounds. Of course, not the biggest guy, but he's a gamer. Of course, at Baylor School, he won the state title over Jeremy St. Hilaire last year. But this year, Jeremy St. Hilaire beat Whit Muschamp. So they've been going back and forth. Had a heck of a year. 3,187 passing yards, 31 touchdowns, and only two interceptions. So he took care of the football, had some good receivers to throw to as well. Amari Jefferson there at Baylor. I just look at him and, you know, another high floor type of guy. You know what you're going to get. You know, you're not getting a, obviously you're not getting a four-star talent, elite talent, but you're getting a guy that, you know, down the road can project well as somewhat of a game manager. But he's got some really nice throws on tape. If you go look at some of Whit Muschamp's throws, he's an impressive kid. Obviously state championship quarterback a couple of years ago, 3,000 yard passer as a junior, competitor, playmaker. He just finds a way to make plays. He's a baller, Burton Simmons says. So obviously looking forward to seeing what he can do at Vanderbilt down the road against son of Will Muschamp. So Whit Muschamp, one of the quarterbacks. All right. Next quarterback, Vanderbilt signed two quarterbacks. That's rare. And I think that's why you probably won't see them grab another quarterback out of the portal, because you will, I guess technically they do have four quarterbacks, you know, on that roster right now. But the next one is Jeremy St. Hilaire, another kid out of Chattanooga, played at McCauley, won the state title over Whit Muschamp this year. He's a bigger guy, 6'3". Approaching 6'4", 215 pounds, big. I mean, this is a pro-style quarterback. This year, 2,600 yards, 25 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. So not stats weren't as good as Whit Muschamp's, but this guy, I think, projects a little bit better. I think he's got a ton of upside. He's got a huge arm. He can run. Very accurate. I was watching his tape and just a really – he doesn't miss on a ton of throws. I was watching the state title, of course, between him and Muschamp. And, you know, he made some really impressive throws. So, of course, Jeremy St. Hilaire is a guy to watch in that quarterback room in the future. Barton Simmons calls him a big, rugged, athletic, strong-armed state championship quarterback. He's a quiet killer on the field. Canadian native, has been tearing up Tennessee on the field at McCauley. Looking forward to seeing what Jeremy, they call him Jay, I guess, Jay St. Hilaire can do on West End. All right, up next, let's go to Bryson Coleman, maybe the most interesting prospect in this entire class. He's been a commitment of Vanderbilt's for a long time. And just listen to this. It came out of Maryland, Stephen Decatur High School. Got to talk to him, actually, several months ago. I think late summer before the season started. But he's listed at 6'5", 200 pounds, so a lot of length. You know, he'll have to put some pounds on, but they will. They always do. But he was a quarterback last year at Stephen Decatur High School, 2,241 yards, 32 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. But he also ran the ball a lot as well. 99 carries, 705 yards, 7 yards per carry, 14 rushing touchdowns as well. So nearly 50 total touchdowns last year at Stephen Decatur. He also had a reception. I guess he lined up at receiver or tight end, one of the for a certain play there. Just a versatile athletic freak. As I said, played quarterback, but he looks to be a flex tight end type guy for Vanderbilt. But it's interesting. You can do a lot with him. You know, if you want to run a trick play, if you want to put him in the shotgun for a certain play, wildcat, whatever, he's a playmaker. And Bryson Coleman hops into a good tight end room. Cole Spence, of course, hasn't played. You know, he's been hurt. But, you know, you look at that tight end room and you got a guy like a Whit Edwards that could play a little bit of tight end as well. So Bryson Coleman, he is the most fascinating guy in this class to me. He's a coach's son, as Barton Simmons says here, state championship quarterback, played basketball, great basketball player, 28 points per game. He hit 340 in baseball. I mean, this kid's an athletic freak, 4.0 GPA, great student as well. Remember this one. He'll be one of the top tight ends in 2024, Barton Simmons says. Don't sleep on Bryson Coleman. He is a guy, I think I remember talking to him 3 or 4 months ago, back before the season started, kind of asking him about his game, who he models his game after. And obviously he knows he's playing tight end at Vanderbilt. You know, I would guess Justin Lustig has been his main recruiter. He mentioned George Kittle as a guy that that he likes watching and that, you know, he sort of models his game after. So Bryson Coleman is a kid that I think fans should be really excited about. Let's move on to an offensive lineman, C.J. Williams. And my goodness, I mean, you talk about monsters. I know I've said that word a lot. You can't just throw it around for anybody. But this guy's a monster coming up out of the state of Massachusetts, Deerfield Academy, 6'6", 350. Whew. This guy, you got some size coming into that offensive line room if you're Coach Blazek. But he'll probably redshirt next year. He'll have to get in the weight room and kind of rework his body, you know, with the new strength coach. But, you know, you got to get him down to a playing weight because he is up to 335, I want to say, right now. He's actually up at 350. Wow. Okay. So you're going to have to change. You can't play at 350. Either way, though, I think they like this guy because he looks like an SEC left tackle, right? He projects well, not next year, maybe not even in 2 years, but in 3 years, we might be talking about C.J. Williams as that blind side for maybe one of those freshman quarterbacks right now. Who knows? But C.J. Williams projects, I think, pretty well. You know, obviously, it's going to depend on the strength and conditioning program, the coaching he receives, but really like C.J. Williams and you know, the way he projects at Vanderbilt. Barton Simmons said nearly 36-inch arms for C.J. Williams, 5.31 40-yard dash. That's at 365, you run a 5.340. That's pretty nimble, natural. He's massive. He's a hooper, a thrower, a dancer. He's got a ton of confidence and personality. So, again, more of a project, but you'll have a diamond in the rough if this Vanderbilt coaching staff can develop him and turn him into an elite left tackle. All right, let's move on. Keep it rolling. Kind of going random here, but Jalen Lackey. He is a defensive back signee that will help Vanderbilt, I think, right away. Obviously, we've talked about their needs, their severe needs at defensive back. Decommitted from Virginia about midseason. And you know, he's a guy they like. They like there at corner, elite speed. He's a Georgia product, played at South Gwinnett High School in a really competitive league division there down in Georgia, 6 foot, 185. It's a decent size. 35 tackles last year, 28 PBUs. That's a big number. Only one interception, but he did have some catches on offense, 10 catches for 144 yards. So you see that versatility in his natural speed. As I mentioned, decommitted from Virginia to come to Vanderbilt. He played in Class 7A in GHSA in Georgia. That's the highest level of high school football in Georgia. Credit to Nick Howell, Dan Jackson for snagging this kid. I think he's going to help Vanderbilt next year. I really do. So Jalen Lackey, they like a lot. Barton Simmons said, big corner with speed and ball skills. He runs a 10.8 100-meter dash. That's some speed. We talk about Nate Johnson's speed. He ran a 10.3 100-meter. London Humphreys, of course, he's not at Vanderbilt anymore. He ran a 10.6 100-meter. 10.8 100-meter guy, Jalen Lackey, that's really good speed. So you're seeing Vanderbilt get even more and more speed on their roster. He's polished. He'll come in ready to help Vanderbilt. Big in-season get. That's an in-season get. Decommit from Virginia to flip over to Vanderbilt. So Jalen Lackey is a Commodore. Up next, Simeon Boulware. Really intriguing prospect. He is a guy, and breaking news here, want to get this out. According to sources, Vanderbilt has targeted Georgia Southern's Robert Steiner to be its next head strength and conditioning coach. Steiner was on staff with Clark Lee at Notre Dame from 2018 to 2020. So want to get out there. Robert Steiner, Georgia Southern, looks like is the guy Vanderbilt is targeting to be their next strength and conditioning coach. We'll react to that. Might react to that with Chris Lee when he hops on here. But back to Simeon Boulware. He is a, like I said, intriguing prospect. Not a guy that pops off the page necessarily with kind of his size and physical appearance. But, I mean, he is 6'5", 240, coming out of Dacula, Georgia. Last year, 61 tackles, 10 TFLs, 8 sacks. I mean, this guy's kind of a freak. He's got his dad played football at a high level, a couple of uncles that played high level football in the ACC. He's a guy that I think projects pretty well, probably a natural defensive end in that 4-2-5 scheme for Vandy. Barton Simmons calls him a maniacal worker, 4'6", 40 at 240 pounds with length and production, only knows one speed. Can't wait to see him turn up the spring practice intensity. So spring practice, he'll be an early enrollee, Simeon Boulware will be. So, of course, Simeon Boulware signed with Vandy today, and that might just be it. I feel like we're definitely probably missing somebody, but we got to Bryson Coleman, Jeremy St. Hilaire. We got to Whit Muschamp, Marquise Barrett from Knoxville Webb. I think we're still waiting on Tyler Fordenberry from the JUCO, but of course that's a portal ad. Callahan Blair, Mason Carter, Tristan Brown, Johan Cardenas, Dante Carter at safety, Alvin Williamson Jr. at defensive back, Glenn Seabrooks III at defensive lineman, Jamison Curtis. Jamison Curtis was a guy I have not gotten to quite yet, but I like him a lot coming out of Saraland High School down there in Alabama. High-level football, of course, in that state. 6'1", 210. Last year, 71 total tackles, 17 TFLs, 2 sacks, 11 quarterback hurries, 1 forced fumble, and 2 blocked punts. He flipped to Vandy from Memphis back in November. He's considered an inside linebacker at the next level, but he's going to have to put on some weight. So I look at him and I think of a guy by the name of, I'm forgetting his name. Played at Lipscomb Academy last year, now at Vanderbilt. Brian Longwell. Reminds me a little bit of Brian Longwell at that linebacker position. I'm sure Longwell will be able to help Curtis out a lot with that adjustment. But Jamison Curtis was a guy I wanted to get to there. Whit Edwards. Whit Edwards is a physical freak. 6'5", 200 pounds out of Wagoner, Oklahoma. Second-ranked player in this class right there behind Dante Carter. Chose Vandy over Iowa State. He's an Oklahoma kid. He competed in the rodeo, I think, this year. I mean, his film, you got to include his rodeo film in there as well. But, I mean, Whit Edwards is a freak. He's on the freaks list heading into the season. I think he'll play. I think he'll play on that edge, that defensive edge a little bit, but he's going to be a flex tight end and a guy that they're fired up about. I mean, getting Whit Edwards to campus was massive. So, of course, Whit Edwards is a guy that everybody should be pumped about if you're Vanderbilt. So, got to Whit Edwards. Joseph McVay, another offensive threat. Coming in here with a lot of speed, 6 foot, 180 pounder out of Arkansas. He is speed. I mean, he's also an electric dunker. I mean, if you look at his film in basketball as well, probably could have played D1 basketball. And again, we talked about the losses at receiver, Shepard, Humphreys, McGowan, McVay, and Tristan Brown coming in, and Marquise Barrett. Those guys are going to have a chance to play early. So, you know, keep an eye on McVay Barrett and Brown, but Brown and McVay in particular. Those guys, I think, are ready to play. Not that Barrett isn't. I just think I look at Tristan Brown and McVay as a couple of guys that Vanderbilt will have to play. You know, I mean, you lost Shepard, Humphreys, and McGowan. So, you know, and you've only added one receiver out of the portal. So you've got Skinner. You know, of course, you got Junior Sherrill. Like both those guys a lot, actually. But we'll have to see where Vanderbilt goes in the portal at receiver. Okay, we got some questions coming in here. We'll talk about some of the portal guys now. Nate Johnson, do you think Nate Johnson's going to be good? I do. I think Nate Johnson's going to be really good. He's fast. He is electrifying. If you watch his film, he's a solid thrower of the football, too. I mean, he's not sitting back there and dicing defenses up, but Nate Johnson is electrifying. On the flip side, he was never really relied on as that guy for Utah. You know, he's kind of battling with Bryson Barnes at Utah last year. So yes, I do think Nate Johnson is going to be really good. And you might see a situation where first half of the season he's trying to figure his way into the offense, but no. And Scott says, I think Nate fits perfect in Beck's offense. Completely agree. I mean, you know, that combo of Tim Beck and Nate Johnson is pretty exciting to think about if you're a Vanderbilt fan. I mean, you know, in Tim Beck's experience, he was a highly coveted OC as well. Nate Johnson was a highly coveted quarterback. You've seen teams in off seasons totally flip the script. Washington, a couple of years ago, they went 4-8 in year one under Kalen DeBoer. Well, Kalen DeBoer snags Michael Penix Jr. out of the portal, a couple of receivers and a couple of offensive linemen. Boom, they're in the playoff this year. It can flip, guys. It can really flip. And they got an offensive lineman, Steven Lasoya. So, yes, Nate Johnson fits in very well with this Tim Beck offense. And I think the reason you're not – obviously, you lose Humphreys. That's huge. But I don't know how many – like, this is going to be an explosive offense. I just don't know how many deep shot touchdowns you'll see this year from Vanderbilt. Okay, Kennedy Mathis. Clark said they plan to bring one more transfer quarterback in. Kind of surprising, but I assume wanting some experience to compete with Nate. When did Clark say that, Kennedy? I could be wrong there. I might have missed it. It might have been in an interview I missed today. I'm actually intrigued to see where he said that. But yeah, I mean, if he does, so be it. I mean, I personally don't think they have to. But I guess the thinking is Nate Johnson goes down. Who do you put in? You got Drew Dickey, Hilaire, or Muschamp. Yeah, I can see why you might want an experienced option. Aria tweeted out not long ago. I believe it was during his comments today. Okay. So yeah, Clark has been live. I don't know if he's still going or not. I know Chris Lee, is there. If he's still going, that's where Chris Lee is. So again, hoping to get Chris in here to provide his comments, following Clark's public comments. I want to see if I can pull up some of those quotes, because that is interesting. If Clark has said that they're going after another quarterback, that's interesting. They are in the process of finalizing the hire of a strength and conditioning coach. Clark mentioned that, and I think Robert Steiner from Georgia Southern is that guy. Let's see. Okay, Clark opened his presser by officially announcing that Tim Beck is the new OC. Okay, interesting. Clark said Beck's role would be akin to the head coach of the offense, and I think that's Clark he's cleaning his hands of the offense. I think that is an interesting aspect of all this. Okay. So was kind of the rundown of the comments. Thomas Jones from Smyrna, preferred walk-on, just signed. Congrats to Thomas Jones. Thomas is a good player. I haven't gotten a chance to see a ton of him. Clay, I think you're obviously familiar with that area, but so second in-state kid, Thomas Jones from Smyrna. So congrats to him. Awesome. Kennedy, I apologize. She said he mentioned they played to bring one or more in, so he could be including Nate as one, but said they have room to bring in another. Okay. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. I my gut tells me they won't, but say, for example, Nate Johnson goes down, you know, are you going to go with who's there? Drew Dickey? And are you going to switch that? Are you forcing yourself to, you know, to switch the offense at that point a little bit? So, but yes, Nate Johnson, I think, is a guy that, that fans, every fan should be excited about. And, you know, there's a lot to like. And so that, that is going to be fun to watch for Vanderbilt. Sorry, trying to get in contact with Chris to see if he's going to come on here. Anyway, so those are the comments and questions. Again, looks like signing day has just about wrapped up for Vanderbilt. Looks like they have, well, they haven't hired. They're finalizing a hiring of a strength and conditioning coach, Robert Steiner from Georgia Southern. Looks like he is... looks like he's the guy for Vanderbilt. He helped Notre Dame to a pair of college football playoff appearances in 3 years. He's been on the strength and conditioning staffs at USC, Cincinnati, LSU, and Mississippi State. He was under Clay Helton there at Georgia Southern. He was the director of football sports performance with Clay Helton at USC in 2021. He spent 2017 at Cincinnati as an assistant director of football performance. So obviously this is a hire that obviously Chuck Losey was an option there for Vanderbilt. Matt Bayless, who obviously was at Notre Dame prior, hadn't been anywhere before. But looks like Steiner is the guy there for Vanderbilt. Dante Carter's younger brother got an offer from Vanderbilt today as well. Interesting. Okay, so we'll talk about that. But let's hop in with Chris Lee now, the publisher of VandySports.com. Chris, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I am sitting outside near the tennis courts. I hope the audio is coming in okay.
Yeah, no, you sound good. It looks a little chilly out there.
It is a little chilly out here.
What did Clark have to say today?
I'm trying to think of what really stood out as noteworthy. I mean, not a lot. He made a comment. I'm trying to upload the video about, I guess, them continuing to evolve and their evaluations. But they thought that this class was athletic, and they loaded it up with length and things like that. There's some frames that are projectable. The guys are going to need work, that kind of thing. Talked about Dante Carter a good bit. Sounds like he's an impact guy. The quarterback's course got, you know, a decent amount of play. Other than that, nothing that really stood out. There was a lot of talk about Tim Beck. We will, as soon as I get the video uploaded, which has been an issue, you can hear Clark's comments about that. Strength and conditioning coach, I think you were going over that. Mm-hmm. As I came on, that sounds like that's a done deal. He didn't name the name, but got directed in a maybe in a place to go by someone. And so I think you've already unpacked that. But yeah, that's kind of where things are as of, what, lunchtime?
Yep. It's interesting that he brought up Tim Beck, and I saw a tweet from Aria. He mentioned how he's basically going to be the head coach of the offense. So you've got Clark Lee, the head coach of the defense. Of course, Clark is the head coach. But you've got Tim Beck, a guy that has been a head coach at Pitt State, D2 level, but coming over from New Mexico State. I thought that was interesting today, Chris. Looked at his comments. I don't know if I was in there with you, I'm sure we would have looked at each other and gone, interesting. You know, it feels like Clark is beginning to sort of wash his hands of the offense and say, Mr. Beck, here you go. You know, let's see what we got.
I thought head coach of the offense was an interesting word, and I'm not sure that's the wrong strategy there.
No, I don't think that's the wrong strategy either. Interesting. There's only two local kids, Chris, and one of them is a PWO, Thomas Jones from Smyrna, who just signed, and then the other one is what is his name from Davidson Academy? Glenn Seabrooks, right? Interesting. And Clark, first couple of years has been mid-state heavy, for the most part, 3, 4. Even 5 guys, I think, at once coming in, whether they're PWOs or original commits. Do you take much into that? Do you look much into that? Or is it just kind of one of those years where, the cupboard might be somewhat barer than it has been? Although I don't know that it is, because that's something we've talked about before. Clark kind of taking control of mid-state. Do you look into that or maybe not as much?
I think you would have liked to have seen more. Seemed like it was a pretty decent class in the mid-state. Of course, they had the DB committed from Innsworth. That's probably going to Tennessee now. Name is
Sensabaugh. Yeah.
Yes, Sensabaugh. Thank you. Look, we've said it a million times. It's just so hard to recruit the mid-state when you're Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. The crowds, the lack of a recent winning tradition, all the things that we have talked about on the podcast ad nauseum. So I can't help that those things helped him here in this case for this year.
No. Well, it'll be interesting either way, Chris, to see how these things piece together. You still got I don't even know how many portal guys, probably have one or two more, come out of the portal for Vanderbilt. Anything else that stood out to you today from Clark, and anything you want to leave us with? I know we weren't able to have Sean. We're hoping to maybe have Sean on, Luke on, maybe Joey. Joey's recovering from wisdom teeth surgery today. So, of course, he's not able to come on. But, Chris, anyway, any lasting thoughts here, and anything else there from Clark that might have stood out to you?
Well, I don't think there was a lot of drama today. I think they got all the guys they were expecting to sign. The portal kids they can't comment on. Obviously, he did touch on Nate Johnson a good bit. Couldn't call him by name, but you could tell he's very thrilled with the addition there. Again, I'll get that uploaded in the press conference video, which was 22 minutes, and it was taking forever to upload. So that might be a more of a mid-afternoon thing. I was hoping to get that up by now, but you're at the mercy of upload speed. So that's where we are. Nothing really earth shattering. It's just weird being there, because these used to be the days that we planned our years around and we're the backbone of the future of the program. And now it's like, these kids are all 1 year rentals, and that's where everybody is.
It is crazy. It's changed. It's almost like today you wake up and you know, this class has already been installed. I mean, it's not like there are any, like you said, earth shattering news or notes. You think most people that know and recognize the players in this class are already familiar with them. So it's not as, like under Franklin, I remember, in certain years under Mason, you would get a few new guys, whether it was a flip or a kid that would surprise you, but you're just not. It's so much about the portal now. And it's funny, you can't even talk about the portal kids officially on a day like today. So strange times, of course, Chris, right now. Clark has voiced his sort of frustrations and challenges with today's day and age of football, as does everybody. I mean, everybody's got to deal with it. And you either adapt or die. And I'm sure we'll get out another episode with Luke, maybe not before Christmas, but definitely, I would guess, potentially before the new year. If not, we'll try to get something else out there. Wanted to get something at least out there today. Chris, thanks for taking the time. Stay warm. Hop back in that car, and so we can get that presser uploaded.
It's actually warmer than it looks. There's a nice sun coming down on my back, which helps. But it's been miserable otherwise.
That helps. Well, that's Nashville weather. You got a couple of jackets on, but the sun. Yeah. You got to wear your sunglasses too.
By the way, I'm sitting in the middle of just a construction zone. I'm looking at the tennis court in front of me. There's a big pile of gravel about 20 feet in front of me. Across the street, there's baseball. And of course, I'm in that partitioned off little part where the McGugan Center parking lot is. But it's just building all around us. It's a weird time.
Yeah, weird time for football overall, college football especially, and interesting time at Vanderbilt with everything going on. Chris, thanks for hopping in here.
Yeah, thanks for holding the fort down.
You got it. That is Chris Lee, publisher of VandySports.com. Going to close it out here. Thanks everybody for hopping in. Glad we were able to do this. Again, I wanted to make this sort of a signing day mania show with bringing Luke Wyatt in, maybe Joey Dwyer, maybe Sean Williams. But people are busy. It's a busy day for everybody, especially around the college football landscape. That was Chris Lee. So glad to have Chris Lee hop on. We'll probably, like I said, we'll get another podcast out eventually reacting to the strength and conditioning hire with Robert Steiner. Of course, it hasn't been made official, but that's who they're targeting. Tim Beck, OC, Nate Johnson, quarterback, other portal guys coming in. We'll get an episode out. But with that being said, thanks for joining me today. This podcast has always been free. We plan for it to always be free. So here's how you can help keep it that way. Give us a 5-star rating. That helps us get noticed. Subscribe to our Vandy Sports YouTube channel. Also, if you're interested in sponsoring the show, email Chris Lee at chrislee70@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you again soon with more episodes of the Vandy Sports Podcast.